Hey y'all, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. I am fantastic.
I like your tie-dye shirt.
Oh, thank you. This is just my loungewear.
Loungewear? Yeah. Yes, your mismatched loungewear.
That we talked about a couple weeks ago, yes.
So this episode is so cool. Like,
yes.
It's not every day we get to do stuff like this. We love hearing from our listeners, and we get really great emails like case suggestions or just words of encouragement, but it's not every day we get an email from a victim's family member.
Right.
So we covered in episode 76 just last month the mysterious death of Jane Newman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd call it a mysterious death, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Because there's a lot of mysterious about it.
Well, and I think it's also like, legally, it's mysterious because it was suggested to be a suicide, or first it was a murder.
Yeah.
Then it was a suicide. The Emmy put suicide after the civil trial. You know, someone was found responsible for her murder in a civil trial.
Right.
And then her death certificate was changed to homicide.
Yes.
So that's mysterious to me. I mean, yeah. Other than all the mystery, it's
technically an open case, right. But not being investigated.
Right. So if y'all haven't listened to episode 76 on the death of Jane Newman, go listen to that first, because you might just be confused as to what we're talking about.
Right.
So we got an email a couple of weeks after we released our episode, and the subject line was, Jane Newman was my aunt.
Ooh.
So obviously my interest was peaked.
Yes.
Like Mount Everest peaked. So Amber Cannon is her name, and Jane was her aunt. And I kind of don't want to tell you too much because we spoke with her and we have that audio for you guys to listen to.
Yeah.
Let me just say my audio is garbage.
I had a feeling you were not going to be...
like, bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Oh, no.
Oh, terrible. Terrible. But it's not about me. You can understand my questions. It's really... her audio is fine. Your audio is fine, Lena. So just... it is what it is, guys. Technical difficulties.
Just try to listen past that.
I really think you'll be so interested to hear what she has to say that you really won't care about the me clearing my throat at times, coughing at times. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, sometimes we can be our own, you know, worst critic, but sometimes there's just no getting around it. Yeah. I haven't listened to the audio myself, but I do know that I heard some things on my end.
It's annoying. I went to get headphones. Like, went to get headphones specifically for that because I don't really have any in-ear headphones. The ones I have with a mic broke.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So it's like, I'll get some new ones. And they were garbage.
Oh, man.
Anyways, we're excited for you to hear the audio. I'm sorry. That's my last apology. Enjoy. Here's our interview with Amber Cannon.
Introduce yourself, I guess.
So I'm Amber Cannon, and my mom is Jim Newman's sister. So Jim and Jane are my aunt and uncle.
Okay. When you emailed us, I was like, I guess like I just got really hot because the subject line said... Jane Newman was my aunt, and I was like,
did you get scared for a second?
Yes, I did. You know, we always hope that we do right by the families when we tell victim stories, But I just was like, oh my God, someone's writing to tell me that we got it all wrong and like that we did a terrible job. But I was so pleased to get your message and so excited that you reached out. So
good. Yeah, no, it's just been so long, and I constantly, that's how I came across your episode, is I constantly kind of check if there's anything new. And then finally there was, and I was like, oh my God. And I was so excited.
So you just Googled, like you just Google or something?
I Google, yeah, I would say about every 6 months, I like Google and check on the podcast stuff and just see if anyone's done anything. And it's been like 20 years now and no one has until now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because the episode hadn't been out for very long whenever we got your email.
Yeah. No, I got really lucky that I happened to look it up like not long after you put it out. And that's why I was so excited. I was like, they might actually still want to talk about it because they just put this out like a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what's weird? I watched that 48 hours episode and it felt familiar to me. And I remembered, like, I watched that definitely when it first aired back in the 90s. Did you? Like,
yeah, because it's like 96 or 97, I think.
My mom used to watch true crime, which is probably, you know, I don't watch it in front of my kids, but she watched it in front of me. And so.
That's, I think, how it started. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know I've seen that episode and it just felt really, it was really eerie because there were some details in there that I remembered. I was like, ooh. So how does your family, I guess, how would they feel, do you think, about you talking about the case?
I mean, I think if I was coming on to be like, you have it all wrong and he is super innocent, then they'd probably be okay with it. But yeah, I don't have contact with them much anymore. But it's been something that was never really talked about in my family. Like, Jane was talked about. Also, please don't mind my mess background.
I put,
seeing it. I'm going to put my hand
I put Christmas bubbles up because my husband's pants were laying over the dresser, so.
But, yeah, I think it was something they just wanted to move on from. They don't have any ill feelings toward Jane. I know that because, like, I found out about Jane in the first place because her picture has been up on my grandparents' like fireplace mantle my entire life. And it was, so this happened when I was really young, and so like I did technically know her, but I don't have any actual memories of it because I was about the age of their kid when it happened. And I asked my grandma one day, I was like, who is this lady on the mantle? And she was like, well, that was Jim's first wife. And I was like, oh, what happened to her? And she was like, she killed herself. And I was probably like five when that happened. And so I never questioned it further because I was so young when I was told that I just like, that's how it was. And we just never talked about it. And then it wasn't until I was 18 that my mom told me the whole story. And then, yeah.
And you were like, huh? Or like, what was your reaction when she kind of took you through the details of what happened?
I mean, I was not mad, but I was a little upset that she hadn't ever told me about it before, because it's like, we spent so much time with him and their family growing up, like we were pretty close to them. And I was just like so shocked that I had never heard any of this before. And then it sort of like a lot of things started to click for me, especially because I told you she had that 48 hours recorded. And so when she told me about it, she sat down and watched the whole thing with me. And it was so crazy to see like my family members on, you know, like a true crime episode. But, yeah, no, it was just, it was super weird, but
And so you told me when we spoke on the phone that you just kind of latched onto it and you just, you were interested in finding out more information.
Yeah. Well, because it seemed like there were no answers in anything. where I think that's the thing that bugs me the most about it, is that no matter what way I look at it, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And so I kept trying to find out more information. I even at one point, like a decade ago, reached out to some of the investigators and the lawyer for Jim or Jane's family, because I just wanted to know more. And I was like, there had to have been more investigation done, you know, like, mm-hmm. and I never heard back from anybody. So,
oh no.
Yeah.
Wow. You would think that if it was an open case, I mean, it is open case, right?
Technically, because they changed her death certificate, but from what it seems like, the investigators were like, what Jim told us is what fits the evidence, so we're not really going to look into it any further.
Yeah, and that's what was so surprising to us, I think, because it didn't seem like there was too much of an investigation. Like, it mm-hmm. felt like they were just kind of waiting for new evidence to maybe come, or something, someone to say something, or, and it was really the civil trial where just a ton of stuff came out that I think that was probably the first time the police maybe ever learned a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. And I would love to get into some of that, but, yeah, but that's why I reached out to the investigators, because it was like, just like you guys in the episode had all these questions of like, well, was this looked into? Or like, it seems like this could be pretty easy to prove, but they never seemed to do any of that. Like, and so I wanted to know, like, is there more information that just wasn't put out publicly that you guys know? Because I'm just so curious about it. But I mean, it had been 15 years at the point that I like first started reaching out. So I guess that makes sense. But
you would think if it's technically an open case that they would, if a family member, even a distant family member is calling, that they would want to speak, or, you know, maybe you've heard something that they, that could click with what they have, or.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. As far as they know, I mean, they don't know that you're calling with new information for all they know. So it's interesting that they wouldn't call you back.
I sort of feel like the people involved in investigating it don't want to take it further. I think it's mostly Jane's family. And I know their lawyer, Mark Garrity, this is what my mom told me, is that he was like so interested and he really hated Jim to the point where when the verdict for the civil trial came in and he was found guilty, he tried to get him taken to jail. Like, he was like, so you're going to arrest him now, right? Like, in the courtroom afterwards. Yeah. And like, and then they didn't. And then, but he would like really, really hated Jim.
Wow.
I think, like, back to the civil trial, I think that was what was so surprising to me, is the stuff that was the testimony at the trial, at the civil trial. Yes. And the testimony that spoke to the timeline, like his boss. His boss's testimony, and things like that. That's what struck me the most, because I feel like people are arrested for less, people are convicted on less, you know, and so that just really surprised me that they didn't say, okay, let's look at all of the testimony and see what we have and like go back through it. But they just didn't. They just,
and so that's what makes me wonder if once Jim gave his second story about the suicide, I don't think they investigated much further. So I don't think they had a lot of evidence that they could get to corroborate anything. And I think that's probably why nothing other went any further than that.
Well, and it wasn't it a couple days later, too, when he changed story. So they had kind of lost all that. You know,
I think it was 2 days after the death that they like went to him and were like, this isn't adding up. And then he, according to them, broke down and started crying, and then gave the story he eventually gave.
Yeah, that's Lena and I talk about this all the time. You know, you get one shot at that evidence and then it's over, like it's gone pretty much. I mean, I do feel like they could have put in an effort for to go back through investigate the garage door. Was that working? Was it broken?
That's my main thing that I haven't been able to get an answer to. I'm like, was there something wrong with the garage door or was there not? Like, mm-hmm. You can't find that information anywhere.
Yeah. And like, had it been purposefully tampered with and left open, cracked open so someone could have gotten in? Was the sliding door purposefully left open? Were fingerprints taken from the sliding door? I just have so many.
I haven't heard anything about fingerprints. That's why I'm like, I feel like there wasn't much of an investigation done. And that's what's so sad is it's like, no matter how much we speculate about it, I don't think we'll ever really know unless someone involved in the investigation wants to come out and like say otherwise. But
yeah, that's what's so sad is we're at a point now where you just feel like kind of helpless for her and that the full story will never be known. It's like, So what was the atmosphere in your family growing up? Like you said, it was just kind of like, I mean, was Jim around a lot? Did you have a close relationship with him?
So we had a close relationship with him. It wasn't like we saw each other every week or anything. I grew up in Minnesota and they were just right across the border in Wisconsin. So we were like a couple hours apart, but so we saw each other, I don't know, probably like 4 or 5 times a year, until I started getting older and then it started getting less and less. But, have you guys ever seen the Plathville show?
Yes.
You have?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't watched it like religiously, but I have seen a couple episodes. So I know who you're talking about.
So that environment is basically the environment of our family growing up. I was really lucky that my parents weren't quite as strict, but Jim and Heather, who is really who I've ever only known as my aunt, were very strict about like, you can't read Harry Potter. That's witchcraft. Like there was essentially no TV, no outside influences of any kind. The girls weren't allowed to wear pants. They could only wear skirts and dresses, like just very fundamentally religious. And then a few years later, he actually, with all of them, moved to Missouri and kind of like started his own religion, which was like, sort of like a cult type situation for a little bit. Yeah. And he was kind of like, because my family's so religious, they didn't love that. And mm-hmm. so most of my family didn't talk to him for like several years while he was doing that. And then I just remember, so my dad passed away in 2005 and they all came up. Oh, thank you. But they all came up from Missouri to come to the funeral. And he showed up dressed like Jesus. He was wearing like long white robes. He had hair like halfway down his back and this long beard.
Oh, wow.
And it was just it was really crazy to see. And then I think him showing up that way is what kind of made my family like stop talking to him for a while. And then a couple years later, they just kind of stopped that and got like way more normal again.
So Jim was dressed like that. Was Heather right along with him, like wearing white robe?
She wasn't dressed like that, but she was dressed like, if you've ever seen like the polygamist Mormon type dressing with like the hair and the clothes, that's sort of what she looked like and what all their kids look like too.
Okay.
Like it was this whole thing. He had like written a book and he basically tried to write his own Bible and start like his own offshoot of Christianity. And then a few years later, that was just like no longer a thing.
And so what about Johnny, his first son? Was he right along with it too?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were still pretty because I was 13 at that time. So Johnny would have been about 12.
Okay.
So still, you know, so young that you just go along with whatever your parents are doing. Yeah. And the last time I talked to Johnny, let's see, I think I was in college and we connected over Facebook, I think. and he had joined the army and seemed to be doing well. And they actually, they all seem to be doing well now. They also, they have like 7 kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so they don't believe in birth control either.
I don't think most of my family believes in birth control.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so that was probably going to be a follow-up question about your relationship with Jim. And now I'm wondering, you said you reconnected with Johnny. Have you ever talked to Johnny about his mom?
I haven't. It was just one of those things that, like, how do you bring that up, you know?
Right.
And yeah.
I know that he definitely doesn't remember his mom, and I know that. And he loves Heather. And it's not just something I wanted to bring up to him, at least at that point in time. Maybe now I might do it, but.
Yeah. Do you still stay in contact with him, or you haven't talked to him in a while?
I haven't. Because I don't have any social media. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't, like, looked any of them up. I've just stayed up to what they're doing through my mom for the last few years, but yeah, they have they had a baby like right before the trial started, and they named her after Jane. Like, they gave her Jane's middle name.
Really?
Oh.
And so she's a couple years younger than me, and she just got married. Like, my whole family went out to where they live for her wedding, and she seems to be doing good. I visited my mom a few years ago, and she told me that everyone in the family was upset at her because she was going through counseling, and they were just like, I don't understand why she needs counseling.
Oh, no.
Everything in her life is great. And I was like,
oh,
that's not. So I asked my mom for her number, and I reached out to her and just like, hey, I know we haven't talked for a really long time, but like, this is your cousin Amber, and I just wanted to let you know that, like, if you want to do counseling, I think that's amazing. And if you need someone to talk to, I'm here. And so then we stayed in touch for a while. It's kind of drifted off now, though, but that was probably like 2-ish years ago.
Well, good for you. That's a good cousin.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
That is, I mean, I can't imagine how it feels to be the black sheep. You know, you're doing the one thing that everybody else thinks is wrong, and it's really not wrong. And you're like, wait a minute, this is not wrong.
Yeah.
So it's nice that she had that support.
So yeah, that was one of the other questions we had, is if the family still talks to Jim. So, I mean,
they do. Yeah. They're all still very close.
They still live really close together, or like near each other.
So funny thing is okay, so right around, like, before the trial started, they moved to Washington, like, Jim and Heather.
Mm-hmm.
They were there for, and then they moved to Missouri, and they did their weird religion thing for a few years, and then they went back to Washington, and they recently, just a couple years ago, moved back to Hudson, Wisconsin, like, right where it all happened.
Wow.
So that's where they are right now, yeah.
Hmm. Wow. That's wild.
So, Amber, what do you think happened to Jane? Do you feel comfortable saying?
No, totally. It's just because it's also weird. If you asked me like a few years ago, I would have said he definitely did it. Like, there's nothing else that makes sense. That's been my opinion for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I just started recently like coming to terms with some things where I'm like, Jim is a weird dude. Like, he's always been weird my entire life. And so a lot of the things where you're like, this doesn't make sense, it kind of does. Like, the whole thing about him finding her and then just immediately deciding, like, I don't want anyone to know you committed suicide. And so just jumping into action and doing this whole thing, that seems crazy. And it is. However, in my family, with how religious they are and all that stuff, it's not that weird, because that is like a huge no-no, you know, like, so I can kind of see how that might happen. like, do I get it? No. But the more I've thought about it, I'm like, and he is, he's just so weird. He's lied, like, about so many things that make no sense. Like, he's literally a pathological liar. Like, he used to, like, go out to dinner with my family, and he would be like, oh, so that guy over there, that's this guy that's spying on me, because, like, I'm in Secret Service, and they did all this crazy stuff, and my family are just kind of like, that's just Jim. That is, like, sociopathic behavior. That's not just, like, something you can write off as, like, oh, he's just an oddball. Yeah. Like, so it's so hard, because no matter what way I think about it, if I think about if she took her own life or if he took her life, either way, it doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm like, why would you take your own life in that way? Right. Why would you do all these things? And then on the same foot, I'm like, but if you were going to take her life, why would you do it that way? Mm-hmm. Like, that makes no sense. So it's really hard for me where I'm like, maybe that, and she did have, like, a lot of problems just from what I've heard from my family. Is I don't want, like, want to speak badly of her at all. She sounded like an amazing person, but I know she did struggle, like, mentally with the voices and stuff. Like, that's things that my mom has talked to me about, that she was like, that absolutely happened. Like, she used to talk to me about it. And the pastor that testified in the trial, he was, like, a very close family friend of ours. And I know he didn't make any of that up. And I know that Jane had those conversations with him.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that confused me the most was the purse thing, where she exchanged her purse, like, right before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought it up to my mom one day when we were talking about it. And I was like, why would she do that? That makes no sense. And she basically just said, like, well, Amber, suicide doesn't make sense. Like, sometimes you can be okay and then you're not, and you make a decision. And I was like, I mean, fair, like, that does happen. So it's really hard to know.
Yeah. I mean, I just heard a story the other day of a guy who was, he was having a party with his friends, and he's going to get all these things to prepare for this party. And that night he ended up committing suicide. So it's, I mean, he was planning for.
Yeah. So planning for Thanksgiving earlier that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I get, it was the purse thing that really got me, because I'm like, going to make an exchange at a store is so annoying. Mm-hmm. And I definitely would not do that if I had any inkling that I was going to be doing that later.
That's a very good point.
You would do that first, so you wouldn't have to return the purse. I mean,
sometimes I consider doing that just so I don't have to choose something. Like, but it's also true that, like, suicide doesn't make sense a lot of the times, you know? So I'm like, that's not really something I can dispute. So that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I could definitely get on board with all of that. The whole, she was making plans. I could even get on board with, yeah, she went to make an exchange, and maybe that was it for her. Maybe that whole experience of returning the purse, getting back home, and being like, you know what? I hate that purse anyways, and I hate my life, and I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I can see somebody just, you know, making that decision spur of the moment. But the elaborate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To make the hole in the wall, get the gun rigged up, the fishing line, make another little hole. I think the whole setup was so elaborate and over the top that it aligned with Jim's personality more so than I think a woman who's hearing voices or in a mental health crisis. Like, that doesn't fit really with someone in that situation. But the elaborate things that Jim told people, and, you know, the bomb on the door that he had to dismantle. And like, I've known people who are compulsive liars, and you just can't believe a word they say.
Yeah.
And they are sociopathic, but they've never been violent. And I can't see that them ever being violent people. Mm-hmm. So I'm not suggesting that he did it. I'm just saying that that elaborate setup seemed more in line with his personality than the stuff we know about her.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's why, like, I have always been 100%. Like, nothing else makes sense to me other than that he at least had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't make it work in my brain. You know what I mean? Like, I...
Well, and knowing him personally, I mean, he's, you know, family member. You've known him and you know his characteristics. So that I can see how that kind of helps.
It's not that, though, because knowing him personally, do I think he could be capable of it? Absolutely. But it's the whole how it went down that I just can't make it make sense in my brain, where I'm like, okay, so you left work, you set up your computer to make these phone calls home, and then you went to kill her, but what you decided to do was to do this weird gun through the wall thing. And then I'm like, well, okay, that could kind of make sense if he was trying to set it up as a suicide. But then when the police showed up, he tried to fake it as a murder. And so that's where my brain kind of goes, like, none of it makes any sense to me. But to be fair, like, her taking her own life also doesn't make sense to me. And that's what's so frustrating about it, and why I'm so interested in it, is none of it makes any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it was rigged up and the idea was that she would, like, it, because it was sticking through the wall, maybe it was wrapped so that she wouldn't know what that was.
I've thought about that, yeah. And I've wondered. And that's totally possible, because they had it wrapped in, I think it was bubble wrap, and then there was something else on top of it. Electrical tape, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's possible. And then, yeah, it's just, it bugs me so bad, because I'm like,
maybe the idea was that she would see this fishing line sticking through the wall and go, what's this? And pick it up.
Yeah.
And then the gun would go off. Like, to me, that is so strange, but that's the only thing that makes sense to me, is that it was a setup.
Yeah. But but the material from the end of the gun was found inside of her mouth.
Right.
So they pretty much know for sure her mouth was on the barrel of the gun. And so that's what I can't figure out, is I'm like, okay. Well, and so if you watch the episode, you know, from the trial, his boss, which, bless his heart, had to put up with all Jim's craziness. But he broke down on the stand talking about how he had asked Jim, like, well, how could she do that to herself, you know? Mm-hmm. And Jim had said, well, maybe someone put a knife to her throat and walked her over there, which is like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
If that's not what happened, and you know, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Right. And that's kind of why my mind goes to, it was a setup, but it didn't work.
And yeah.
So when he got home, maybe she was still alive, and she was like, do you know what this is? Or like, what is this? And he either did what he suggested, or someone else did. I don't know. I do not know.
No.
It's like a puzzle that
doesn't
have a solution. You know those puzzles, like those weird puzzles, and you're like, this is broken.
Yeah.
Not have a solution.
There is a piece missing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And I can't get over the lying. He never did anything overtly violent. I know that from being a small child, he creeped me out the whole time I knew him.
Children.
And that's like, was one of those things that when I finally found out about all this, I was like, that makes sense now. Like, I get it. And I thought for literally like 10 years straight, I was like, he absolutely did it. There's no other explanation. Mm-hmm. And then just lately I've started, like, I just can't make the puzzle pieces fit in my mind where I'm like, okay, so there is a theory that he, because he was so like technologically savvy, that he set up his computer at work to call the house phone, because mm-hmm. really his only alibi is that there were calls from the office to the house during that time. Mm-hmm. And people were like, well, he could have easily set up that through his computer to call the house phone during those times to set up an alibi for himself. And then, but yeah, when I just further on it, I'm like, okay, so then he came home and he somehow got her to put her mouth on this. And maybe he pulled the string, or somebody pulled the string, or maybe he was even on the other side of the wall and just shot it. Like, we don't know. But, but then, okay. But so then he goes and he breaks in the door and he hangs a picture over the hole and he tries to make it look like a murder. And then he goes to the suicide story. And I'm like, none of that makes any sense to me. Like, yeah. I just don't get it.
And disposing of the gun, like leaving, taking that. I mean, it's like Candace did the timeline thing where she mapped it out. And that's hard to, of course, the computer, if we're talking that he set up phone calls from the computer, I mean, that would make more sense of how he could have time to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And didn't his boss say that he drove him home? Sooner
yes.
than
so he gave his boss a ride home.
Oh, he gave his boss a ride home. Okay, yeah. That was what it was.
So it's like if he had done it, he would have had to leave, go home and do it, and then go back to work to give his boss a ride home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Yeah. I would not at all put it past him. I think he's super weird. He's mentally unstable just with everything that he's done. And, you know, not only was suicide like something that you couldn't do in our family, but also divorce was. Mm-hmm. And they also had major debt that, and then also, I just want to say, I don't believe that suicide note for a second. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I know she might have felt some of the things that were in there, but I don't believe that she wrote a suicide note, at least not like that.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. That's if just only another added thing to the elaborate, you know, the time it would have taken for her to set all that up. That's just another added.
And when you think about that amount of time of like, okay, so maybe you're not thinking about it. That's why you exchange the purse. So then you go home, then you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then you write a note and you have to punch two different sized holes in the wall, set that up, like wrap the end of the gun, which I wouldn't even think of. Like, I would never even think of doing that with a shotgun. Like,
right.
People have been like, why wouldn't she just shoot herself with the gun, which makes sense, but it was a shotgun and you can't really do that, like, logistically. But, so they're like, that's why she did that. But I'm like, but it just doesn't make any sense. Like, and the other thing I've always wanted to know is that the theory for her taking her own life was that she got this gun from her dad, because her dad was like a big gun guy. Mm-hmm. And, but I'm like, okay, did anyone ever look into that? Like,
yeah,
was he missing a gun or was he not? Like, that should be something that's easy to figure out. So,
well, and her mother said that she didn't know a thing about guns. Like, she didn't own a gun. She didn't know a thing about them. She probably has never shot a gun.
Yeah.
So,
and as far as I know, that is the case. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it really seems insane that you would come up with this elaborate rig for a shotgun when you've never even shot a gun before in your life.
Yeah. I would love to get my hands on all of the police reports and everything that's been investigated. Like, let me just sift through everything and see if, you know, what's missing or, yeah, that's.
Yeah.
And to that point, Lena, we could see the time those phone calls were made, because I don't remember seeing what time those phone calls were made and the time that he says he got home and then the time that his boss says he drove him home. So those are all things that it feels like it would be easy for those things to align with each other.
I think that had a lot to do with them believing his story, because I'm pretty sure, I don't have the times off the top of my head, but the times that he said those, and they had the phone records. So based on like the phone records and what his boss said and what he said, it did all line up. And then just based on, so the evidence of, they were like, we know really this is how she died, because that's the only thing that makes sense with the evidence. It did all seem to line up. But yeah, it's all just so weird to me. And I so wish I had an answer. And just knowing like how weird he is of a person, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I want so badly to know, and I want more answers, and I'm like so dissatisfied that we don't have them.
That's it. Dissatisfied.
Well, I'm going to hold on to hope that one day we will have an answer. but so you said you listened to our episode. Was there anything that we said in there that needs to be corrected, or something when you were listening to it that you were thinking, oh, they need to add this into it that you haven't already told us today?
Well, so the one thing that we talked about was one of the main things was the dog thing, where he brought the dog to the animal shelter and he had put that the owner died on the paperwork. And what my family told me when I questioned them about this was that their dog had been going to the bathroom in the house a lot. And they were worried that the dog wouldn't get adopted by another family if they put that as the reason. So that they have decided together to put that the owner had died, just as a way so that someone else would take the dog and it wouldn't get, because I believe it was like a shelter where the dog would be killed if it wasn't adopted in an amount of time. And so that's not, like, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Like,
Makes sense. Such a coincidence.
Like, that doesn't look good. Like,
And actually, when I was editing, one thing I forgot to add was when he made that 911 phone call, he said his wife was dead and his son was missing. And I kind of never explained where Johnny was.
I hate that 911 call so much. Like, I can't, it makes me, because you know, even if what he said happened is what happened, he's still faking it. You know, like, he had already done all these things.
Right.
And so he's listening to it where he's like, my wife's dead and my 2-year-old child. I'm like, oh my God, shut up. Like, I can't listen to it.
Yeah, so Johnny was actually with the babysitter.
Yeah.
So he was fine. He wasn't missing. And I would assume that Jim would have known that.
Jim knew that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just part of, for some reason, what he decided to add to that phone call.
So just another kind of element to the drama.
Yeah.
Really, that his son was also missing.
That's what I think he decided to add that, because he was trying to frame it as a murder. Yeah.
I just feel like it would have been so much easier to leave the gun. And not put it through the wall. Put it in the same way.
You could have covered up the hole in the wall and still framed it as a break-in.
Right.
But you took such lengths to dispose, like such lengths to dispose of that gun. It makes no sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And just the amount of time that he would have had to, like, he would have literally had to find her, immediately jump into action. And that included, covering up the hole in the wall, burning the note in the furnace, sweeping the ashes out of the furnace and flushing them down the toilet, which is what he claims he did.
Okay, see?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I brought up was, did they check the furnace and was there anything in there? So he says he swept
claims that he swept it out and then flushed the ashes down the toilet. And then drove, jumped a fence with a trench coat and a shotgun, threw it, and all got in like 25 minutes.
Can you imagine driving down the road and seeing a man in a trench coat jump a fence
and it was with like a rush hour?
I
yeah
And I'm like, so no one in this whole area, and that's why I would love more information on the investigation. Because I'm like, mm-hmm. no one in that whole area saw some weird dude with a trench coat jumping a fence. And like, I guess I don't know the area that well. Maybe it's a little more hidden than I thought it was. But like on the show, it doesn't look like it. So.
Right. It doesn't. And on the Google Maps, like I mapped it and I don't know how it looked back in the 90s, but it seems pretty straightforward and it doesn't seem like.
It doesn't seem like it could have changed much.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It doesn't seem like they could have rearranged the roads, you know, because there's a big river there.
Hmm.
And also just the thought process of like. Right. Thinking of how, like, it would take me a full 25 minutes to figure out what I'm going to do with the gun, you know? And maybe he's smarter than me, but, like, that just seems, like, way too quick to be like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to throw my trench coat on, I'm going to put the gun under here, I'm going to drive here, I'm going to hop this fence, toss it in the river, and then go break the door down, and then call the police with this fake-ass 911 call.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you had mentioned earlier when we were kind of talking about the civil trials. Anything you want to talk about that?
Oh, I mean, just the.
So your mom was there because you you posted a picture on our Instagram and you sent me a diagram of everybody labeled, which was amazing. So we'll post that on our Instagram. But
so Johnny was actually with me and my brother and my dad. While my mom and my grandparents were at the trial with them, which is something that clicked when my mom told me about all this. I was like, wait, so that time that Johnny was at our house for like several days, is that what that was? And she was like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But, no, I mean, mainly just the lying thing that I've gone through and read like the whole trial transcripts. And when they go into everything Jim did, it's just crazy as far as the lies he would tell. And he told these lies to not just like his coworkers, but to also my family, where he, about like being in the Secret Service and having all these government credentials and like all this crazy stuff. And like, that's the part that I just can't get over. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's not like, that's just not a normal person thing to do. I'm sorry. Like, and I've tried to bring that up to my mom and like her only response is like, well, Jim wouldn't hurt a fly.
It's hard to think of a family member could be capable of something like that. Now, I know you say absolutely he could be, and I mean, anyone really could be capable. But something so elaborate, like we've said so many times. But it's hard to fathom that your family member could do something like that.
Yeah, I get it.
Hmm. Yeah. Was there a time that any of your family believed any of the things he said, like the Secret Service thing or any of the little things that he said?
I think that some of them might have. I can't say that for sure, but because he was in the army for a little bit, and I think some people just sort of were like, well, that makes sense because he was like doing that. And I think that a few of them didn't find out until the trial came out and he had said all this crazy stuff that they knew wasn't true, that they realized everything he had said wasn't true.
So do you know if anybody else in your family other than you is interested in finding out or questioning, or do you feel like you're the only one questioning?
I don't think anyone else in my family is questioning. I at first thought my mom might be because I had all these questions and she was very open in like answering them to me. And there was a point where I thought she might have thought the same way that I did. Mm-hmm. And then I made a comment along the lines of, well, if he did it, and she kind of caught me off and was like, he definitely didn't do it. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I kind of stopped talking to her about it after that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, my family is, they wouldn't even let themselves think that, if that makes sense. Like, it's not even an option. Yeah.
That's totally understandable. I mean, even if you had fleeting thoughts of it, you would just have to put it out of your mind, because at this point, I mean, if I were in your situation at this point, I would be thinking, well, you know, it was so long ago and so much time has passed, like we've all moved on. And, you know,
I think they put all the anger on Jane's family. Like, it's not even on Jane, because, like I said, like, they still had her picture up. They never said anything bad about her to me other than that she killed herself. Mm-hmm. And, I just don't think that they could really even go there in their minds.
Mm-hmm. Have you been in contact with Jane's family at all?
No, I thought about it, like, really hard. I think I even had an email drafted at one point.
Oh.
And then I just was like, they've been through enough, and I don't have anything to add, you know. No, I kind of just reach out and be like, just so you know, like, I believe you, and if you ever need anything, I'm here. But then I just kind of decided that maybe it would be more harmful than helpful.
Yeah, opening up a can of worms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I do know that they're still wanting justice to be done. Like, I know they're still wanting Jim to be arrested at some point.
Mm-hmm. That's so tough. I can't even imagine.
But the other thing that we can talk about quickly was what I talked to you about. And I'll have to say, like, allegedly, but that my mom, when we first started talking about this, had told me that they had this experience where it was like a couple days after Jane had died, and they were all gathered at Jim's house. And this woman that no one knew walked in and walked upstairs to Jim's bedroom without saying anything. And according to her, that was the first time they had all met Heather. And so I just kind of like kept that in my pocket for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the more I looked into it and the more I was watching the episode and reading things, and I was like, well, according to them, they didn't meet until after Jane died. Because he supposedly hired her as a nanny several months after Jane died. So I called my mom and I was like, Mom, like, you told me this, right? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, because I just rewatched the episode and they say, like, very explicitly that they didn't meet until after Jane died. And my mom was like, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, I'll ask Heather next time I talk to her. So she called me back a few days later and was like, yeah, I talked to Heather and I guess I was wrong, because she said that they didn't meet until after Jane had died. Mm-hmm. And I just always thought that was so weird, where I was like, okay, but then what is that memory of? Like,
right.
Why would you ever even say that? And so I have this like sneaking suspicion that allegedly they might have met before Jane died.
So you said Johnny was with the babysitter the day of the incident. So he had a different babysitter, or was he at a daycare, or, I mean, it wasn't Heather.
No, that, I mean, I think Johnny was there with everyone when that happened.
But the day of the...
Oh, yeah, he had like a daycare, like when...
Okay.
When Jane died, yeah, he was going to like a day-long daycare.
Okay.
So that's right. It wasn't even a babysitter. It was like a full-on daycare that they had to like drop him off and pick him up from every day.
Mm.
So the whole thing about my son missing just makes literally no sense.
Yeah, that is very interesting. And that's kind of another thing that after the civil trial, or even after he got married so quickly after Jane died, that didn't pique investigators' interest to take a second look and be like, okay, let's check his emails. Was he corresponding with this woman beforehand? Mm-hmm. Like, because that's a motive. I mean,
exactly. Right.
That's the oldest.
That combined with the financial thing. Right. And that's why immediately I was like, oh, he did it. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no question for the longest time.
Yeah.
Which I still technically, like, if I had to bet money on it, I would still bet. Thought he did it, but
can't prove it.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It
makes sense. I think the thing that does make sense to me the most is that she, for some reason, decided to take her life in that way. But that still doesn't make sense to me. And mm-hmm. just knowing him and everything he's done, it's like really hard for me to accept that that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so hard. Like, I cannot imagine you feeling kind of torn in the middle. And when I read your email, I kind of was skipping down to the content. And so I kind of skipped the top line where you said, Jim Newman is my uncle. And in my mind, I was thinking you were on Jane's side of the family.
Mm.
And it wasn't until I called Elena and was like, I've got to read you this email, that I read it to her. And I was like, wait a minute. Whoa, hang on. Jim is her uncle. It's like, whoa. Yeah. And she's reaching out to us. Like, I thought that was profound. I really did.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You should have seen how excited she was, Amber.
No, I'm so happy to like finally get to talk about it. Like, I wish I had more answers. Mm-hmm. All I know is just, I mean, the thing I can stress the most is I don't think you can understand how truly weird he is as a person. Mm. And so a lot of it where I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, but he's so weird.
But that's just him.
You know, I'm like, does that make sense for him? Because like, he's a little, so yeah, I would get it. But yeah, I made like so many of my friends sit down and watch the episode with me. Some of them love it because they're into it also. And some of them are, what are you doing to me right now? But all of the ones that I have forced to watch it are like, oh, he's guilty for sure. Like, I think that's the impression anyone gets from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't disagree. Mm-hmm. I just don't have the answers, and it's so frustrating. I wish anyone involved in the investigation would like reach out at some point. I would love it. It would make me sleep better at night.
Yes.
Love questions answered about like, was this looked into? Was this looked into? Because I can't find that information anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. If you're listening, please. Yeah.
If you're out there,
contact us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com and we will talk about it, because for real, I think it would provide closure. And I'm not even sure if they've shared those answers, if they exist. Do the answers exist? Because were those things investigated?
Yeah.
Right.
Was that stuff shared with her family in order to appease them in a way?
Yeah.
You know, obviously not, because they're not appeased. So
yeah, that's what I feel. I feel like it wasn't looked into as much as it should have been, because they kind of wrote it off.
Yeah.
Well, is there any last things you want to add?
Trying to think. I tried to think really hard before we did this, so I wouldn't mm-hmm. be on the spot, but I think just like when you listen to or read any of the stuff about it, you have to take into account just the strangeness of my family and how we were raised. So, you know, a lot of people would look at that and be like, that's an insane reaction to that situation. Whereas in my family, I don't think it is so much. Like,
yeah,
it is absolutely crazy. But for them, I could see that happening. Like, I could see him so badly not wanting her to go out that way
mm-hmm.
and trying to cover it up. Beyond that, it doesn't really make any sense to me. And then also just take into account the things that he's lied about, the crazy things he's done even afterwards. Just, yeah, he's not well. His mm-hmm. family, I think, is great. I think Heather is so sweet. She's one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet in your life.
Aww.
And so, you know, if she definitely didn't have anything to do with it, she's the kindest human on the planet. He just is so strange. And I wish I had more answers. But if anyone has any other answers, please hit me up, because I would love to know.
Reach out.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for first of all, reaching out to us, mm-hmm. And taking the time to speak with us tonight. We always love hearing from victims' families. I always say that it's just as important to know about the alleged perpetrator as it is a victim. And we like to highlight the victims, of course, but in order to understand crimes, or just like you say, just understand the circumstances of Jim, how he grew up, why he might go through elaborate measures or say elaborate things. Those two are important to know when talking about these cases.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that is a puzzle piece. That is a very important piece of information. So thank you for sharing about your family and telling us more about Jim. And we really hope that someday we can know something. I mean, crazier things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities that someday this could, you know, we could have all the answers that we seek.
Yes. And but if Lena, you ever find anything out, or if anyone reaches out, please let me know.
Absolutely.
I will. I have you on speed dial now. Lena, is there anything else you want to add?
No. You said thank you, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you for coming on and chatting with us and just giving us a different perspective.
Yeah, and if you think of anything, or if you learn any new information, or something happens, you are always welcome to come back on our show, and we
thank you. I absolutely will.
Open invitation. So
yes,
thank you so, so much. And we'll let you get back to your babies now.
You guys have a good night.
Thank you too.
Thanks, Amber.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please consider leaving us a positive review and rating. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to our show.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast, or send case suggestions to cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.